Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Welcome to the Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Today, our guest is Ellen Perrottet. And hello, Ellen. How are you doing?
Hey, Qasim. Nice being here on the podcast with you. I'm very good. What about you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you. So nice of you. So, Ellen, will you let us know where you live, what you do, and why you do?
Okay, so I come from Switzerland. I'm currently in Cape Town. I'm going away from the winter, so I needed a little bit of sun. And what I'm doing, so with my business partner, Roy Burnham, so we started Dcommerce. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if you know what we do at Dcommerce, but if you don't know, is that we help companies, brands to engage with their community customer.
Perfect. This makes sense. And how you started this business, like what was the thing that inspired you to start this business?
Yeah. So 6 years ago, I think six, maybe now it's seven, I'm not sure. We built a direct-to-consumer menswear brand with Roy. Mm-hmm. And we did a little bit different than others. What is that? I mean, fashion product, he doesn't come from a fashion background. I don't come from a fashion background, but we thought like from more on an economical point of view, doing that was making sense in the niche we were going after. And we're like, okay, but now we need to make a product and we don't know how to do it. So how do you do that? So we're like, well, you know, let's ask people mm-hmm. and what they like, what they don't like about the current product that they buy. And we go from there. And from the feedback, we can make prototype and go on. So from the day one, we started co-creating product, but when we started that, we didn't know there were a name for that. So we didn't know about co-creation, but eventually we understood, okay, that process is called co-creation. And we made it like the DNA from the company. And what we noticed is that, you know, what we were doing was like basically sending email to get feedback. Then we went like on social media getting, so the problem is that we have all data everywhere and we're like, okay, we need to work the data and so on and so on. And we're like, okay, what if we had like a software where we have our community and we can ask questions and we can kind of listen to them, you know, so passive where we get information from them, what they like, what they don't like, but also we can be proactive. And so we tried that on a Facebook group first. Then we realized, okay, it doesn't work because we don't get any access to data. So unless you scrap your, anyway, complicated. So like, okay, we need to get something. And we look at what was available on the market and nothing was really there, you know, that will help us. So we built it ourselves. So that's how we started Dcommerce. Basically, we needed something and then we built it for ourselves. And then people started asking, hey, could we use it? And then we said, okay, well, maybe we can spin out the software from the e-commerce company and make a new company and just work on that software. So that's how it started. You're muted. I cannot hear you.
Oh, okay. So what specific services does Dcommerce offer to help businesses thrive in the e-commerce space?
So, I mean, we help e-commerce business, but also any type of brands. And mm-hmm. so what we do is that we help them get new customers with mm-hmm. one application that we call the growth engines, basically help you to generate new lead and convert them into paying customers. Mm-hmm. And then that's more like top of funnel, you know, like really attracting customers. And then more mid bottom funnel, we have our community software, which is more there like for the lifetime value, basically creating the relationship with your customer, understanding them better and serving them better with like the right product, right? So we have like, if you think we have three products, we have the growth engine, really for attracting people, community to engage with your community. Then we have the reward program to make sure that they come back again and again and again.
Makes sense. So can you share some stories or examples of how your services made a significant impact on your clients?
Yeah, so actually quite a cool story that we had like 2 weeks ago from a Swiss watch brand, Louis XVI. So they actually have like Swiss made luxury watches. And they were kind of like, okay, you know, we always need to get more customers, but you know, like online paid ads, not so easy. And we're like, okay, look, you know what, let's do a campaign with the growth engine. Mm-hmm. And the goal is to reduce your cost of a customer acquisition. Mm-hmm. And we're like, okay, our goal is to reduce it by 40%. And that's what we're working towards. And they're like, okay, well, what kind of campaign have you done? So we looked at the numbers and it's like, okay, look, okay, well, it's already pretty good, but we think we can get better. And then we run it for 30 days. Mm-hmm. And then from the lead generation point of view, we help them to reduce it by 53%. So by running a campaign, 53% improvement, that's pretty good, right? And then we're like, okay, well, now you need to convert them, right? Send some emails. So now we need to talk again to them next week to see what was the result of those email campaign. But basically, you know, those kind of things. So we've been working with quite a lot of customers. And what happened is that when they've done that, they're like, oh, wow, it's amazing. So let's do that. And it's like, okay, let's continue. And then let's have like a continuous strategy to understand better our customer. And then they want to start with the community. And then, you know, asking people what they like about their watch, in that specific example. But for other products, like more like, you know, you want to really understand why people like your brand, why they're buying your product. And it's very difficult to understand that if you don't have data other than just like, okay, that person bought that watch. And then you're like, okay, so, but why, you know? And without really having a deep understanding of a customer, it's very difficult to understand why people do something.
Makes sense. And when you are doing these strategy things in marketing, so what channels are you currently utilizing for marketing, and how do you measure the effectiveness of the effort? Because at the end, effectiveness is the main thing that you need. So how do you find this?
So we like to go, I mean, it always depends of, let's say, where your customer are, right? So let's say if you are a brand that target people that are like, I don't know, 70 plus, probably not go for TikTok. Mm-hmm. Maybe, but probably not, right? So it depends of your target audience. But safe choice is always going with Google and Meta, because you know, like pretty much everyone are on there, right? You're pretty safe.
Yeah.
And then we will often start with Meta, Instagram, and Facebook, because that's where you got a very large pool. And then if we know that their target audience will be a good match on TikTok, then obviously we'll go for TikTok, because that's probably the cheapest platform you can advertise on, right? Then, you know, if it's something that is more like software, like tech or for journalists or something like that, we might consider Twitter, I don't know what we should call it. So, you know, like, but generally speaking, it doesn't really matter which platform you use for advertisement. As long as it's, you know, that your customer are hanging there, you will be successful.
Makes sense. But like how much spending you are doing on it? Because at the end, everything has its own cost. So obviously, there are two stages. Like either you are going to invest from your own pocket, otherwise you are investing out of the revenue, whatever the revenue you're getting, you are allocating some amount for all these sort of things, activities. So like how you are managing it, from pocket, from revenue, or some fixed deposit?
I mean, the best way is to do it from, you know, from your revenue you're doing, and then you spend a certain portion, let's say, I don't know, 20 to 30% of your revenue, maybe you can reinvest it in marketing. If you are more on a company that are like, you know, like you look for hyper growth, then you probably have a different type of marketing budget. Let's say for some company that wants to grow organically in a more like, let's say, sustainable way, and not just like at all cost, we will suggest to invest to have a marketing budget of between 20 to 30% of your revenue. And then you can obviously split it between the different platform. I mean, I would always recommend people to also invest in, you know, SEO, like to get the organic traffic and not only on paid, but paid will help you to also get that organic traffic, right? It's always a mix. I mean, at the end of the day, it really depends of the goal of the company. But let's say if you can invest 20 up to 30% of your revenue into marketing for growth, that's ideal, right?
Obviously. So I would like to understand, in fact, everybody would like to understand who's watching this in this podcast, who is your primary target audience, and how you tailor your marketing messages to reach them effectively, because I believe you must have some specific niche where you are going to target.
Yeah. So our dream customer, like the best customer, is direct to consumer brands using Shopify. And that's like in, let's say, from doing like mid seven digit, something like that. Seven digit is like a good, you know, some people, they're already making revenue, and and they want to grow, and they might be facing some growth challenge due to the change of where everything happened in the last few years on privacy, targeting, and so on and so on. So those are like for us like dream customers. Everything bigger than that is also great. On the small customer, it's also very interesting because they might be very fast to implement things. On the revenue side, it's obviously more interesting for us like a bit larger customers. And where we find them, funny enough, it's a mix between LinkedIn, Meta. Mm-hmm. It really depends. Let's say the larger company will find them on LinkedIn, and the smaller one will find them on Facebook. Yeah,
makes sense. So how you position yourself, maybe how you position your business in this competitive e-commerce landscape, and what are the differences? What are the differences from your competitors?
Okay, so how we position ourselves is that really the company that helps brands to engage with their community customer, and we help them getting new customer and mm-hmm. growing with their customer. And so generally speaking, our competitor will either focus only on one part, either acquiring customers or retention, and we do the full funnel, because we noticed that if you don't focus on the full funnel, then you will be missing out on something. And one part that for us is let's say we see the future for that, and most of our competitors don't, or at least not yet, is that how you can empower your community with blockchain technologies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one part that we build in. So we don't use it as a sales argument because it might be scary for a lot of companies, you know, blockchain, crypto, what is that? Is that a scam or not? Or, you know, company not necessarily know that. So, but we use blockchain technologies, but we want to make sure that for the end user, it feels like Web 2. So you should not uh-huh. notice that actually there is some blockchain technology behind it.
So like Web 3 and Web 2 are both completely different. I believe still in this world, there are a lot of people who cannot use Web3. So,
yes.
Like,
and they don't even know about it, or they don't know what it is. But...
yeah. So, like, how you achieve this thing? Like you're saying, it looks like yeah. Web2. So, how you do
for
this?
For example, when you create an account in your community,
mm-hmm.
you will automatically get a wallet. You will not
okay.
even feel there's a wallet. So everyone will get a wallet automatically created. You don't feel it. It's just automatically created. And you can have access to your private key. So it's non-custodial. So it's really like it's your wallet, your key, everything is yours. And then what's really cool is that the reward program is built on blockchain. So all mm-hmm. the rewards are on the chain. And then it's up to the brand if they want to reward like a with a system of, let's say, cashback, when you could, you know, if you spend X, you get X in crypto, they can do
yeah.
that. They want to create NFTs with some perks, they can do that. If you want to do, we call them badge, but they are just like soulbound NFTs, basically to say, well, if you spend, you are one of the VIP customers and you spend mm-hmm. X, you'll get that badge, and it will mm-hmm. give you access to XYZ. So you can create a lot of dynamic that are very interesting for brands and, you know, creating loyalty with their customers.
Yeah, this is something interesting. So in this case, like how well do your current software solutions integrate with each other, and what considerations are given to the scalability at your business as your business grows?
Well, I mean, it's always a big discussion with the tech team, right? So say, okay, because you also have to consider, you know, the cost of the architecture that you have and then how scalable
yeah.
it is. We built on GCP, so Google
uh-huh.
Cloud, we use that, which allows us to one way to only use, you know, what we really need now, and if we need to scale, and then we can automatically scale our architecture, so which allows us to stay, you know, with reasonable cost.
Mm-hmm.
And one big advantage is like all the security part with GCP is that you can really, in, you know, very easily have a very great architecture, secure and everything, and scalable at a reasonable cost. So that's one way we look at it.
Yeah, this makes sense. And if a customer comes in, let's say, if a customer comes in and that customer is completely unaware how it may work, like how do you guide your customers?
Yeah, so right now we like to do what we call a done with you or done for you onboarding, either or, to make sure that there's always a human that can take care of the customer, to really help that person, you know, to understand how tech is working, to make sure that, so I mean, in theory it's a self onboarding software, but why we decided to for now to still include a human into the onboarding is that it's the best way for us to get direct feedback. So because, you know, when we're in conversation like right now, if you tell me something, I can, you know, I can notice right away. As if it's self onboarding, of course you can have like some screen recording of seeing where people click and so on, but you don't have like the interaction that's like why or what was that person actually trying to do. But when I, you know, if I, you know, I tell you, okay, can you please share your screen, and then I can see your screen as I can see you doing things, and then I see, okay, well, that person is doing this, but actually what I wanted that person to do was that, and that it's not like the UX apparently is not good enough because that person didn't do it automatically. So it's like, okay, then I can ask a question, right? So we always, that's why right now we make sure that every single person get onboarded, from small customer to enterprise level customer, that we always have a human that will talk to those people to make sure that we can really get feedback the fastest way possible, and then we can improve our software. So I think for us right now, our stage is like really getting like those small feedback from, you know, from, okay, did the people understand what we were trying to do, and, you know, is our UX good enough, and if it's not, then okay, it's like we need to improve that as soon as possible.
Yeah, because many e-commerce people are not tech savvy, so support and this sort of help is a must have. Okay, yeah. So let me know what would be the biggest piece of advice for the ones who are going to start their business or they are struggling with their business. So what they should do, like a biggest piece of advice.
I'll say that if you can find someone that did something you would like to do in the past, and you can get that person as a mentor or like a coach or something like that, and that can, you know, avoid you from doing certain mistakes that will be costly either in money or time or energy, then I think that would be the best thing, is that if you want to launch, you know, a new business or a new app or whatever, try to get someone who already did it to mentor you, because then you will get valuable insight. And, you know, if you can win 6 months of development or something on your project, that's amazing. So that will be my advice. Try to find somebody who already did what you're trying to do.
That's it. Really nice to meet you, Alan. It was really enjoyable talk. So at the end, will you let us know like where people can reach you if someone wants to reach you, someone wants to buy something or just want to talk to you? So what could be the best way to reach you?
So I mean, they can reach me per email. I can I don't know if I should say it now or should I send it to you, per email or on LinkedIn at Alan Perrotet, or on Twitter, or yeah, or Twitter, that will be also Alan Perrotet. You'll find me there as well. And for my email, I can share with you, and some, you know, if somebody
you can just spell the email. You can just spell the email what it is, and but we will show on the
all right. The top, so that will be alan.perrotet@dcommerce.com. And
thank you, Alan. Thanks for joining us today. We really enjoyed, and I hope we will stay in touch.
Yeah, thanks, Azim. Really nice chatting with you. Have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye bye.